둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
Got what? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome to Kyle Meredith with...
Dot, dot, dot.
It's an ongoing interview series presented by 91.9 WFPK Independent Louisville. That's a radio station. And Consequence of Sound, great music site. Today, I'll be talking to David Byrne, whose new LP, American Utopia, is out now. We also get to talk a little bit about his relationship with Brian Eno and Jonathan Demme, who he did the Stop Making Sense film with, passed away last year. Had they plans on more films? Well, it's all inside.
Hi, Kyle.
How are you?
I'm good.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Thank you. Good to talk to you. You're in Louisville, right?
I'm in Louisville, yep.
I'm thinking my connections to Louisville. I did a few songs, collaborations with Will Oldham.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yep. They were done for a Paolo Sorrentino movie called This Must Be the Place, named after a Talking Heads song. As part of the story, there were these, one of the characters was listening to demos from a young kind of singer-songwriter. And Paolo, the director, is a big fan of Will Oldham's. And I said, well, why don't you get him to do this and not just me? Because he asked me as well. And I said, he was hemmed and hawed. And I said, well, okay, well, I'll do it. I'll write to Will. And then you'll really get everybody that you love.
It's a dream right there. No, we love Will around here. I mean, he's a legend. What do you say, you know? Man's an amazing songwriter. So, Man, I love this record, American Utopia. Congratulations on everything you've done.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
With this record, you know, I'll go ahead and ask the questions, too. With as many creative projects that you create these days, how important is the concept of album in your life and career?
It's a good question. I mean, I'm not the only one to ask, what's an album mean these days? Well, I know that for the efficiency of getting out there and promoting something, you are going to do, an artist like me or a record company or whatever, it takes as much promotion to promote one song as it does to promote a whole album, sort of. So from their point of view, and sometimes and kind of from the artist's point of view too, it's like, well, let's make it 10 songs. That's a reason to have a record. Although we know, at least I know, that a lot of people will go on to download sites or streaming sites and just pick the songs that they want and then never, ever check the other ones out again, which is, you know, for an artist, that's kind of disappointing, but we live with it. We know that that's what goes on. But at the same time, yes, I mean, we think about a record, we think about sequencing, we think about a balance of up-tempo songs and more reflective songs, all that kind of stuff that you think about when you're making a record, and you go, why am I doing this? Does this matter to anybody anymore?
Well, you get into this record, and it seems like movement. I hear you talk a lot about movement. It's on the live show, but it's also in the songs, especially starting off with something like Dance Like This. Where does that come from for you? Where is the interest in that marriage stem from? You know, it's more than just these are the sounds coming through your speaker with you, which I've always appreciated.
So it's been liberating for me over the years to change from an artist who basically stood as still as I possibly could on stage in clubs to somebody who gradually, the music sort of liberated me and allowed me to move around and would affect my body and affect me and make me, inspire me to move and do different things. So yeah, as lots of people have said, music kind of saved my life that way, inspired me to try different things and change as a person. That's something music does.
Yeah, and it works itself into the songs, like I said.
It's, yeah, it does. It comes back into the songs, yeah.
I know the comparisons have been drawn, you know, as you've said, to Stop Making Sense. I did want to ask, did you and Jonathan Demme ever consider working together again, and would this have been the right time because of the nature of the project?
Oh, yeah. We've tried a couple of times to do things together. We wanted to do a documentary about Robert Farris Thompson, who is a professor of African art and a great personality. Jonathan wanted to film the show I did with St. Vincent, but we couldn't find the money, couldn't find the interest. That's what happens. People might think that, you know, an artist who's been around as long as I have has no trouble getting things made or done or produced or whatever. Well, it's the struggle doesn't end.
Right. Well, no, I mean, again, I know you're part of a lot of projects, and while we're sort of on the subject of film, you know, True Story is one of the great classics, and I would imagine ever doing something like that does take a lot to put it together. Have you ever tried making another film? Has that also been on the table that just hasn't happened?
Yep. Yeah. I pitched some things as recently as last year.
Wow.
So far, no takers, but I will keep trying. I'll keep trying. Yes. Yep.
I'm guessing you probably don't want to let me know what they are since they're not out there yet.
No. Because some of them I think... I maybe develop it a little bit more. I can make go back and go, I'm going to try that one again.
The collaboration with Eno always seems so important with you. What is it that you always, what is it that brings you two together so often?
I'm going to guess it might be because often when we get together, we don't talk about music. So our relationship is not strictly about business or music production or that kind of thing, but that is part of it. So sometimes we can be hanging out for a while and talking, and then the subject might turn to, hey, I have some drum tracks. Do you want to hear them? and that might lead to that, in this case, led to a record.
That's cool. And there's so many guests all over this. I'd be curious, actually, if there was anyone that you wanted on the record that just didn't work out, because I don't know where you'd find the room anyway.
Yes. No, I was fine. But there's plenty of people on here.
See, and that's what makes a song like Everybody's Coming to My House have that layers, too, because I imagine, you know, that studio just completely packed the entire time.
Yes, there's a lot going on there.
Of course, that interesting point in the title, it's Utopia. It's not Dream. You didn't go for the old phrase there, the American Dream, you know.
What's... Oh, yeah. Although I could have, like, in a way, because a lot of it is, in a way, about that. A lot of it is about... who we are and what we want and how we see ourselves, what's gone wrong and what might be right, all those kind of questions, yeah. And so, I think of the record as expressing all that kind of longing, for something better and something different that we all have, regardless of what our politics are.
And, you know, with what you've been doing with the Reasons to be Cheerful, did that butt up against the reasons not to be cheerful on this record?
Yeah. There's plenty of dystopian things on the record, but it's delivered in a sort of upbeat way. So, I'm trying to kind of balance one with the other.
It's darkness that you can dance to.
Yes, exactly.
And with that in mind, too, I mean, Bullet, what an interesting way to tell a story, because that's the POV of a bullet. And with so much going on out there with guns and gun control and shootings, I mean, that's got to be a thought that runs through a lot of artists' heads, even in passings, about your show. Does that stem from that, or is it just the subject in the air?
It was written, you know, wasn't written yesterday. This is not a new thing. Mm-hmm. But I thought, I had the idea, let's tell this story. story from the point of view of the bullet, and the bullet going through someone. And then you start to talk about, yes, and this is where their memories are, and this is where they loved someone, this is where they had these ideas, this is where they enjoyed meals, and this and that. So you kind of get this heartbreaking sense of all the elements that go to make up a person being slowly kind of ripped apart, little by little, as the bullet goes through.
Jeez.
Well, yes, well, that's what happens, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's and but when a song like that then becomes sort of extra timely, I guess, because as you say, it wasn't written yesterday, and we have been dealing with this, but, you know, when the subject does come up in the news over and over and the events happen, does that change the weight of a song like that for you?
Oh, yeah. It does for me. It does for my friends. My friends have had very strong reactions to that song.
Yeah, I bet. With the sounds, you're always looking for something new. A good artist is always looking for something new. Did you have to go searching for sounds this time around?
No, I had help. I didn't have to search so much. I had help. A lot of the younger collaborators are really into kind of manipulating sounds electronically and otherwise, and in ways that are completely new to me and very surprising sometimes. So they brought a lot of that to the table.
What do you have to give up when you're doing that many collaborations at once? Because again, I'm only looking at the size of a guest list on an album like this. You come in with a basic idea or a full song, and
I came in with full songs, so I could sometimes, you know, get back to them and go, you know, that's not really the way the chords go at that point. You're not allowed to change that. Do you mind trying again? Here's what the chords are. But other than that, it's really fresh what people come up with. They're hearing things in slightly different ways.
I love what you guys have come up with. I mean, it's such a fantastic record and such a surprise. And I don't mean that as an I didn't expect you would do a fantastic record. But again, you know, I keep up with you and all the things that you're a part of. And when we do get an album, it's such a special event. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I hope to see you back in Louisville at some point. We do love having you around here.
Yep. See you soon.
All right. Take care, David. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to Consequence of Sound's YouTube channel for more interviews with your favorite artists. I'm Kyle Meredith. See you next time.